Welcome back to the Common Thread Podcast. It's Naya,
Vanette,
and Alan. Today's episode is about the new Howard Thurman Center at Boston University. The HCC has been around since 1986 for a place for students to find common ground.
Recently, the HCC had its grand reopening on January 21st, 2020 at its new location on 808 Comm Ave. We asked students and staff their thoughts on the new facility and what impact HCC has made on their lives at BU.
We spoke to Rami Neek Clark, a junior studying political science and also a student ambassador at the HCC.
Hey again, y'all. My name is Rami Neek Clark, aka Fuzzy. I'm a junior here studying political science, and I'm from Richmond, California. Also, fun fact, because I didn't mention, I'm a Posse Scholar as well.
Oh, you're a Posse Scholar?
Yes, I am Bay Area Posse 1. Shout out to my posse. I love them with everything in me. So, yeah, that's it about me.
Okay.
Can you share the story about the people you met in HCC and the relationship you built here?
The relationship I built here is just long-lasting. I meet all different kinds of people all the time, from different majors, from different ethnicities, from different socioeconomic backgrounds. It's just never a dull moment meeting somebody at the HCC. People you probably wouldn't even think you would never run into, especially like different majors. I'd be like, you major in that? Like, that's interesting too. Or like, people have like wild ass double majors too. I can't even remember. Somebody told me some wild double major and I was like, yeah. Shout out to you, because you do that. But overall, I have built some very good friendships in the HCC. So
yeah, it sounds like the HCC is a great place to meet new people and new friends.
Yes, definitely. And definitely having all different types of conversations. I mean, you don't know what kind of conversation you might walk into at the HCC, but it'll definitely be relatable and definitely you can make some commentary on it if you would like to. But yeah, the conversations never stop at the HCC.
Right. So you are the so you create girlfriends, and that's like your main program here.
Yes.
As a student ambassador, right? Why did you create this program, and can you just explain what Girlfriends is briefly?
Honestly, Girlfriends got created because we was hating on Brothers United. We was like, the males got a program, they eat canes every Sunday and they do male things. Why can't women have that? Why can't we have that? So me and Arshel were sick and tired of not being able to go to Brothers, because Brothers, they don't allow women in there. So we were like, forget it. We just gonna create our own space. And then boom, came Girlfriends. And I love it. It's a space for women of color to congregate, be women of color, have conversations about experiences of being women of color, other conversations in regards to relationships, like our last Sunday conversation was shooting your shot, things like that. So we just talk about everything, and most of the time we just kick back and have conversations and just make connections amongst one another. I always see people making connections of like, a girl, what's your number? Girl, what's your Instagram? Obviously, you see we have the GroupMe too, so we try to at least drop information in the GroupMe, let other people promote their clubs, organizations, things like that in the GroupMe. So it's really just trying to foster that extra community, like that extra support team.
Okay, and above that, what are the challenges you have when running the program?
I think the only real other challenges is getting people to come. Everybody like 11 in the morning, like that's a little early. I'm like, no, it's not. 11 is not that early.
What's the turnout typically for Girlfriends?
Girlfriends typically has a turnout of mostly around, if it's not breaks or like a long break kind of thing, like just recently we had that long presence break, but Girlfriends typically can turn out about 60 some people maybe. But
that's a good group.
It's still a good turnout, but yeah. It's about keeping people entertained, keeping people wanting to come back, things like that. So sometimes it can range from almost about 40 to about 60 people at Girlfriends every Sunday. So numbers can shift up and down, but I don't think we had nothing really less than 40 yet, but it's about just getting more people to come, though. You can't stop there. It's too many other people I don't know yet. So I'm like, I don't want to stop there. I don't want to stop at no 60 when I know it's more women of color out there that can come congregate and hang out with us. So I think that's really the only challenge is how can we get them all? How can I get them all here? So
I appreciate your ambition. That's great. Can you just go back to when you first found the HTC and how you kind of got started?
I found the HTC my freshman year. That's like one of my friends really was like, hey, come meet me at the HTC. And I'm like, I don't even know where that's at. Like, whatever. And like, as soon as I walked up into the HTC, I ain't never left. I really, just really never left. As soon as the first day I went to the HTC, I just never left. I had a rough time, not really like a rough time, but it was hard coming from the West Coast to the East Coast, making that transition freshman year. So I spent a lot of time just hanging out with people like in my posse or just hanging out by myself, really. So just finding a space that I know I could come to like throughout the day, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on, was just so fulfilling for me, you know what I'm saying? And just for the staff to be just nice. Like, it's a bunch of spaces you can go to and kick it with, but how many places can you go to kick it with the staff too? Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, the HTC, definitely my second home.
And speaking of the staff, is there any staff that you like in particular that you can call an influence?
I love all the staff, but Catherine Kennedy has my heart. I love Catherine Kennedy. She's a force to be reckoned with, definitely. Fierce, powerful, courageous, educated woman. Everything she does, she puts her foot forward. She puts her heart into it. She prioritizes the students as much as she can. And once you make that relationship with Catherine Kennedy, it's a long-lasting relationship. It's forever, you know what I'm saying? Till you get on her bad side. She a Gemini, y'all, so don't be playing with her like that. She a Gemini. You don't want to get on her bad side. But overall, she has a very, very big and good heart.
Anyway, it was really nice to see you today. And I'm so happy you took the time out of your day, especially after we had to record this.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Thank you guys.
Definitely learned a lot. You definitely sell the HTC.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Wait, one more question. How do you feel about the newly renovated center?
I love it here. I'm always telling people to come in. Let me give you a tour. Let me walk. You can ask the staff. I'm probably always walking somebody around the goddamn HTC. Like,
and that's your job as a student ambassador.
All the time. It is my job as a student ambassador. But it's not like a requirement. Yeah. It's not like, oh, you have to do this many, da, 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 da. Like, it's just like, hey, you meet somebody, you know, how about you go ahead and go take them on a tour, show them the HTC a little bit. But I love this space. I love everything about it. I love the colors. I love the smell. I love it all. Please come check out the HTC. Just come hang out. Check out the classroom. Check out the meeting spaces. Check out the listening room, please. The listening room is the best room.
I agree.
I love it so much. Every time I walk up in there, I feel like a different person. And I definitely hold the listening room something close to my heart, as it was dedicated to one of my very, very close friends, Aaron Edwards. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much again.
Thank you guys so that much. Was Please Monique, come out to all our HTC programs.
And I think it's really interesting because definitely not every student at BU was even aware of the HTC because it was in the basement of the GSU. Not really a desirable location, but with this new building, it's really fancy and it's very nice. And I personally have been there several times, but I have not been there a lot, like pre-building. Finette, how do you feel about the building, and have you been to the HTC before like the new facility?
I love the new building. I was so excited when I first heard about the renovations and the grand opening. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing, because I had been in the old HTC before when it was just in the basement of BSU, and I loved it there. I loved it there. It was so cozy, and I felt like so close to everybody.
It was great.
But like, it was amazing. I loved it. So like, once I heard about the grand opening, I was like, yes, this is amazing. Like, finally we get to like put this beautiful building, like, this, what I call this place, oh, you can put this beautiful location for students of every color, any race, any background together and put it on. It was just like great to know that we were moving from the basement of BSU to like right on combat for everybody to see, and we can just really do more events and bring more people in. And I love that idea. I honestly, like, the first time I went to the HTC, I was so scared
You were scared?
Like, it was just a bunch. Yes, it was like a bunch of juniors and seasoned men. I was oh my god, I'm a little freshman. What am I doing in here? And I was just like, okay, this is weird. But then what happened was I went in there, and then these juniors, these freshmen, these sophomores, they were coming up to me, talking to me like, hey, how are you? What school are you in? What year are you? Like, they would just kind of get to know me. And I was like, this is new. Because everywhere else that I've been in BU, the only time that's happened to me is when I was in class and we were forced to talk to each other. Like, anywhere else I would sit, you would never get that type of one-on-one connection. I was like, oh, wow, this is new. So I loved it. I loved it so much.
Yeah, I definitely do agree that the people that I met at HTC has been very friendly and welcoming. And that includes the staff, too. Ellen, how do you feel about the new building? And what have your past experiences been, even before the HTC had its new building?
I haven't been to the old HCC. Staff and people are really nice, and they greet me with big smile like we have been friends for a long time. Whenever I come to HCC, I just feel I'm very welcome to be here, and the people are so friendly.
We spoke to Sherry, the Assistant Director of Arts, Grants, and Programs at the HCC. She's a 2014 BU alum majoring in Psychology and Public Health, and she's been here for quite a while. Here's Sherry.
I've been serving in a professional capacity for about 5 years, almost five, in April. So.
And you are a BU alumni.
Yep, I'm a BU alum from class of 14. I studied psychology and public health while I was here. And fun fact, I was also a work study student for this space. So I've been up and around
in the
space. Yeah, for about 10 years now, but five full time.
I saw on the BU HTC Instagram.
Oh my God, it was Monday. Yeah. That was the only one, the only evidence piece that I have of me looking at the camera, kind of. And so I was like, okay, you could throw this one in there for the people who care. So
I guess the first question I can ask is, like, you've been here for about a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. How did you first feel when you saw the new HTC renovation? Like, I guess how much did the HTC change since you've been here? I mean, obviously we're in a new building, but just the students, the vibe of the HTC.
Yeah, I joke that I haven't had a year or an encounter with the HTC as long as I've been working here that we've had a normal year. Like, as soon as I started working, it was like things immediately started changing. I'm like, oof, was this me?
Is there no normal year for the HTC?
No, yeah, I don't think there is ever a normal year. I mean, I started working in April of 2015, and I remember because it was right after MCW. Like, that Friday was my first day of work. And it was that year that we started evaluating. It was that summer that Ferguson happened, I believe. And so the climate of student reactions to what needs to happen, what conversations need to be had, started raising eyebrows across the nation. And, you know, Dean Elmore and President Brown host these dinners. President Brown really hosts them, and Dean Elmore's always there. Dinners with student leaders. And so he has always done those, but those have been popping up much more, or what felt like more anyway. We were recommending students to sit in on them. And the feedback from all of those was that we needed more opportunities for dialogue. Students needed more space to process difficult issues. And that was really the thought process that led to the re-envisioning report. So if anybody is recording, if anybody doesn't know, that the expansion of the space came from a group of students and staff and faculty, some of which are from within the Thurman Center, a report that they put together on the reasons why we needed a bigger space to serve more students. And so if you go onto the president's page or the president's website, it's still there as an initiative or a letter to the community. And so that was the beginning of the really rapid change, because every year it meant, okay, there's another step that's going to be done. Pedro ended up chairing the space and design committee, so that was like the next big step towards this space, where they were envisioning with architects what can physically be possible, what can What can we do if we had more square footage? So they were looking into building new buildings. They were looking into renovating buildings like we did with this one, and building spaces between buildings or in parking lots. So it was a lot of imagination that went into it. So there really, no, it hasn't been... that's a very long-winded question or answer to your question. But yeah, there's never been a normal or a year that hasn't been transitional in our, or at least in my 5 years, the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
On the HCC website, I noticed a program called Common Ground Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about this program and what impact does it have on the BU community?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry, I'm kicking
you. Oh, you're good.
So the Common Ground Grant is a funding opportunity that we give students, whether or not they're attached to groups. So it could be an individual that's approaching us or a student club, that they want to put together an opportunity for people to get to know each other, not necessarily a party or a movie or a panel, because those things you can come in and leave without ever having to talk to anybody. But what we really want to fuel is the opportunity for students to get to know each other where money is not an issue. So if you all want to take a trip somewhere, or if you want to create an experience where people are clearly mingling and learning about other people, and learning each other's stories, and I'll give you a few examples in a minute, that's how... that's where we come in and we say, you know what, don't worry about like the food cost or the trip cost or the transportation, whatever it is. And we'll take care of that as long as you are proving to us that this is something that's crossing barriers interpersonally with people. So for example, a few years ago, a student went up to Dean Badalino and said, I want to start a fly fishing club. And he said, well, what are you really trying to do? And that's always our question to students. It's like, if you tell us what you're trying to do, then we can get you there so much quicker than if you're looking through this very narrow lens of I want this thing specifically. So so he said, really, I don't care if people know how to fly fish. I don't care if they've never done it or if they're pros at it. I just want to get people together on that bus. I want us to enjoy each other's company on that lake or that river or whatever it is. And that really struck a chord in Dean Badalino. So he said, you know what, you need to talk to Shari about doing this with the HTC. And so little did I know I would be chaperoning this fly fishing experience. But it was interesting to see the people that signed up that were regulars at the HTC that had never been in there before, the RA for our Common Ground House, which was hilarious, and, you know, it ended up being this collection of people that were on this bus, and we went. It was a cold day, so honestly, people did not need to leave their houses, like, or their dorms. It was about 12 of us that came. It was cold, and we, and the facilitators of that experience, you know, so Matthew, who was a student that initiated the experience, he found local as in this point, local to New England, so they were in New Hampshire, fly fishing companies. We found out what the cost would be for fishing licenses for a day, and so those are the types of costs that we absorb, you know, and then catering. So they ended up having a food truck on site, so everybody was able to eat lunch.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it worked out really well, and... in terms of how that translates to the BU community, you know, I think students often find difficult funding opportunities, one, and then ways to collaborate that are seamless. So student groups, and often very much cultural student groups, there's so much over-programming, but similar programming in the same vein, and they want everybody to experience their culture or their experience or their story or their program, and they're not talking to each other. So that we hope to serve as a hub for where those people and those conversations can overlap, so that perhaps we can find a way, in case you do want to just do this very streamlined thing, I really want to host a party. Okay, well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get people to understand who I am. I'm trying to get people to understand how they can get to know other people. Then that's the goal.
I didn't even know this grant existed.
Yeah?
The only grant that I knew that, like, students can get from BU is, like, mm-hmm. If you're interning at, like, a nonprofit and, like, they don't pay.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get, like, a stipend from
yeah,
BU.
And, you know, there are a lot. That's the thing. You have to, there's so much on campus that you have to really be digging and be researching for them, because there are a lot of different grant opportunities at BU, and we're going to have something next month that kind of gives you a big overview of what's possible. But yeah, It's a lot.
Yeah, I can feel this program aims at breaking barriers between people.
Sure,
and
yeah.
What do you think makes a good proposal stand out?
I think one that is not necessarily, that is clearly describing an experience in the interest of it a little bit. So like last year we hosted an event, we allowed, or we granted money to 6 or 7 student groups that wanted to put together a rice event ingrained in culture. And so that event looked like every culture donating a rice recipe from their homeland. And the difference was, or what separated it from their original thought process, was that they then had to educate the general body, whoever was going to be attending, on each other's rice dishes. They weren't going to be representing their own because that was going to be the original layout that they had thought up. And we didn't push back a lot on that. We just said, okay, but how are you showing to your general bodies that you are here representing everybody? So it's sometimes it's a small thing, or sometimes it's intense and you have to go back to the beginning. But yeah, but we don't like saying no. So we will often work with student groups to kind of tease out what it can look like.
Going off that, this might be
a good.
Go ahead. Is there any like favorite memory or favorite event that has happened, like including your mm-hmm. undergrad, I guess, at the HTC? I know it's a, it might be
yeah,
a
I know
question.
I'll think about it one second. You said a favorite memory in
or like an event that happened at HTC, like at any moment you were here, because the rice thing sounds interesting too. Like,
no,
oh,
yeah, that
there's
was
so many
really
cool
fun.
Things here. So yeah. I should definitely go to more of them.
I have really enjoyed, honestly. So, years ago, Pedro was assistant director, and he facilitated this program that was called Culture Council, and it's been on hiatus. I did it a few years ago, and we're working around ways to cater it to the current student climate that we have. But something at the end of the year that they do is they do a transition of power. So really what Culture Council is and was is a gathering of different student e-board members, maybe one or two from each group. And the goal was to help them learn how to collaborate and work together, kind of a lot of what I just said earlier. And at the end of the semester, you know, helping them facilitate the transition of power process so that the new people coming into the e-board after those people graduate or move on from working on the e-board, that they know that we're still here as a resource. And so Pedro and the then assistant director over at the student activities office, Taylor Savigny, she's still over there. They facilitated a big catered transition day, basically, but it was like the old HTC was filled with maybe 50 or so people, and it was funny because we didn't really think anybody was gonna come.
In that and small space,
yeah,
in the GSU. Oh
yeah,
God,
and
lot.
We didn't think, because every now and then, because of the dips in attendance for programs, you never know if something is something, if an event or program is something that students really like, or if they are showing up because they have to, or if, you know, they really want to be there, but they're just too busy. And so this was clearly one of those times where they realized, and I was the administrative assistant at the time, and that was just a time that they've realized how interested students were in doing what they facilitated and doing, and really students being interested in getting to know each other better and being invested in collaborating successfully. So, and everybody just had a good time. It was carefree. It was fun. We were eating barbecue, and it was just good. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun too.
Yeah, very yes. Fattening biscuits.
So, you've clearly been involved in HTC for a long time, mm-hmm. from undergrad to now. Like, what has mm-hmm. kept you coming back, or what keeps you here? Like, why is HTC such a big part of, like, you? Of what
yeah, no, yes, I feel. And I always say, not always, maybe it's bad that this is on recording, but I say that I don't think I would work in higher education if it wasn't at the HTC, because I'm extremely unconventional in my work style. Every day is different. Even every day, me taking notes may look different. It could be on these post-its one day, it'd be on this whiteboard the next, and I have a notebook that I use maybe twice a month. But but the HTC is like that too. So, you know, every day for me, it may be student groups that we're helping, you know, logistically program. It's a philosophical conversation every day. It's, you know, it's making big level or high level decisions, or at least giving feedback on high level decisions with Danelle Moore on things that really affect how we are understood by students to be helpful. You know, I think also just having such a familial atmosphere with your coworkers and your supervisors is so significant. And I didn't think about that when I was looking for a job initially. Sorry. And it's so human, you know, and I think about my friends who are like my peers that I graduated with, I don't know how long now, 6 years ago, that are in jobs that they have to look for aspects that they really enjoy. But overall, it's like it feels like work and they're kind of worn out little by little. And this place is so, and it's the energy, you know, I gain energy from students that are incoming, fresh perspectives from students that have been here forever. Real, like seeing the light bulb moments too was really fun. Like when, you know, I think we learned really early on, or at least I did, because I started working here as soon as I graduated, maybe 3 months after I graduated. So, because I graduated in the winter semester. So that was my first real job. So learning that you can't tell somebody, and you know, I had life experience in this too, but you can't tell somebody how to grow. You kind of just have to let them have their moments, and the best you could do is guide them. Seeing that happen from freshman to junior year, and then it's usually around like junior and a half year that people are kind of like, oh, I get it now. You know, it's fun. So I think that's what keeps me engaged. And I mean, as a student, the HTC allowed me, and a lot of it was Catherine Kennedy, allowed me to kind of come into myself, literally what I just said, you know, like let them figure it out, to come into myself little by little, because I came in not saying anything. I came in, I mean, I would say hello and that was it. I did no programming. I didn't want to do coffee and conversation, because when Dean Elmore did it, it was a microphone being passed around, and it was like, you know, the appeal of having the dean facilitate a conversation was a draw. So it was standing room only in that place, and I was terrified. But I would always sit in the back though. I was always there. And then around my junior year, I think is when I participated in the first program. So it took me a minute, but that pattern of this place is always there for me. I can sit in here and have nothing, you know, I come in with no aim, or I can come in with the directive to talk to somebody because I need help. And talk to somebody because I'm trying to learn about what community even is. So I think that imprinting of the significance of the place to me as a student is what kind of grilled it into me as a professional. So staying was almost effortless, especially because it was such a transitional state that I was in here. It's like after a year and a half, I became assistant director, and I said, and I was kind of blown. I was like, what am I supposed to, how am I supposed to do that? You know? So, but it's always been a place that just breeded that energy of opportunity and vibrance and care that worked so well.
I think that's amazing, because not a lot of people can say that about the jobs.
That's like, what I'm saying, and so
grow as a person, like,
yeah.
I mean, yes, a lot of people view as growth as in career growth, which is also important, mm-hmm. but like also just personal growth, like in your job. I think that's amazing that you can say that, honestly.
Yeah, it's different, and I know that it's different, so I'm not in a rush to leave.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Make me want to work here when I graduate.
Yeah. Like, damn. It's different. Yeah. Yeah, and that was the other thing I had to learn about myself, too, is that I needed training wheels first. So I came out into being a comfortable participant in a smaller style discussion. Because I'm an introvert, I need time to form my thoughts. Yeah. I need to not be, like, interrupted and all that. So being in almost an academic culture that really enforces or rewards the person that can speak up first, you know, it's hard. So a lot of also my training for that came from the casual conversations in the space. It wasn't always the formal, structured, and it kind of, and it geared me up to be able to participate in the formal programs. But
also, speaking of programs, what's your favorite program that HTC runs currently?
Oh my god,
if you have, a favorite
like, I don't even know if I do. I think I have my favorite based on like how I'm feeling that day. I'll probably, like, I love Tea Time, and what Faith and Faisal have done with Tea Time is significant, because to imagine 30 to 40 people in that downstairs gathering space, wow, to me is already outrageous. Oh my God. Like, I enjoyed Tea Time because it was low attendance, and now it's like coffee and conversation with tea, but it's in a good way. You know, they keep it intimate. They make it so that everybody is still heard, and yeah, and they're just, they're fantastic. So I still think Tea Time is one of them. I got thrown in to facilitate a book club one time because our shell was out and I wanted to kill her because I tell everybody I'm dyslexic, and so like I prefer to listen to books rather than read them because my eyes just race. And so they were reading Becoming by Michelle Obama, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta read like 5 chapters of this book tonight. But the group was so fun, and it was, you know, they were just so interested in the manifestation of like the material in real life. They weren't even talking about the book necessarily. They were talking about what it meant, and so what it meant in their world. So, you know, that has a special place in my heart too. And
they're all really great. I like how, I think, like, of course, like the general theme of the HTC is to find common ground with people you may have never like spoken to before. Yeah. People like you just don't come across with, like, back in your daily life back at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really like how this place kind of, like, pushes you to meet people and, like, to have these conversations. And, like, they can be very intimate conversations.
Yeah.
Like, you can be talking about, like, family and, like, politics with someone you just met, like, 5 minutes ago.
Tell me about it.
And, like, you get into a really deep, like, animated conversation. And I think it's, like, the beauty of the center, too. But I guess to get into practical things, like, how do you feel about, like, just the building, the new building space in general?
Yeah, I think it's big.
it's a big building.
I am thankful for it, and I'm thankful for what it means that we can do now. I am just in a growing stage and in a transitioning phase. And I adjust to things slowly. So, because it means a shift in literally every way that we work. So, I was just texting somebody earlier that, because I was sitting downstairs at the student ambassador table, and my friend said, well, why are you, what are you doing downstairs? Like, what's going on? And I was like, I just need to make sure that I'm seen. And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, one of the biggest roadblocks that we have in this new space is losing intimacy, and making sure that that doesn't happen. So structurally, when we were in the design phase of the project or of this, yeah, of the expansion, it was our preference that we not be on multi-level. We all really wanted to be on one floor because in the old HTC, you can see everything from Ms. Kennedy's desk, from the MLK room, even if they're in the back because there are windows purposely designed into the walls so that there really isn't anywhere in the space that somebody can't be greeted. So being on two levels was difficult to absorb, but also having an office that's physically separate from anything, like I can't see anything. So I just need to make sure that I'm mobile and that I'm still engaging as much as I used to in the past, and that I don't lose that that connection with students too. And then the other part is, you know, being sought after as such a beautiful space that is filled with you guys. That's appealing to the entire university. So I feel like I am often in a defense mode that I don't necessarily want to be in, because we're protecting this for being a space for students. And so warding off, you know, departments that may want a program in here or random events that never used to happen in the HGC that are submitting reservation requests, it is always at the top of our radars to remind people that this is a student center.
So for the time you have been here, have you received any feedbacks from people outside the HGC? Like what people likes about HGC and any complaints?
Oh yeah, every day. Let me think. So, well, feedback, positive feedback over the years has been that people are thrilled that we have a space dedicated to just discussion. And, you know, that's something very, or that can be understood as very minuscule, but if you think about, or colleagues that have spent time at other colleges recall that there isn't necessarily non-programmatic places on every campus everywhere that we can just talk about like the big buzz topic of the day. And so how significant that is to how you formulate discussion or how you train yourself on how to really interface with people. Because when you leave here, that is really what people don't realize they don't learn in college. And when they get into the workforce and they don't know how to approach their coworker about this thing that they said, or they don't know how to even have a conversation with themselves about why they're uncomfortable about something. So so that's always positive feedback that we receive. And positive feedback about the staff. You know, students have always shared with us that they appreciate the impromptu-ness that they come with when they come in, and if they can just plop down and sit and shed, you know, a layer of what they have going on for the day, that's okay, and that we're a space of refuge a lot of the time for personal situations, because we're not necessarily we're not a clinical space, so people feel, you know, a different level of comfort than
going to HHS.
Than necessarily going to SHS. And, you know, if that is that kind of situation that warrants that, we let them know that we're still mandated reporters and that we have to share information. But sometimes we can serve as that gateway into introducing that part of what needs to be done into their day or their life. So that's good. You know, we don't get that much negative feedback. I think as of late, the negative feedback has just been misunderstanding what we do and who we are. Mm-hmm. So the denying of requests is mistook for, oh, they don't want to play with us. But so it is gonna, we are kind of getting comfortable in the space of saying no a lot, but it's in for the sake of being honest and being true to who we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and like speaking for like an hour.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate it.
It's also worth noting that, which I think is a little funny, not in a bad way, because this is like the entire point of like the HCC, is to find common ground with people that you never think you would find common ground with, people that you've never interacted before back in your hometown or high school or whatever. But I'm really happy and also surprised about like how many new students the HGC has bought in and I've seen since like before this new building was built. There was like a lot of Black students I've noticed. It was like kind of our place to congregate in the HGC, because everyone I've seen down in the old HTC down in the basement of the GSU, where we're all Black. And it was a bit of like a solidarity moment, because one, there's not a lot of Black kids, Black students on BU.
It was like our space, which it shouldn't have been, because it's supposed to be like inclusion for all, and it is, but like for some reason this became like kind of like the Black student area. That's just what happened.
Yeah, and well, there are definitely, like, we haven't left. Like, there are Black kids that I see at the HTC. Some people that were still there from the old HTC. It's definitely a lot of new faces. And I think that's definitely a good thing, because when I used to talk about the HTC to people who weren't Black or just, like, were never a part of that space, it would be like, the HT, what? Where is that? Like,
what are you talking about?
I'm like, yeah, and I noticed that during orientation, like my orientation, that they did try to push the HTC. So I think students are aware of it for sure, but definitely not that aware of it because of how small the space was. Like, people know about
They'll be aware of it now.
Yeah, it's a huge building. It's a huge glass building. So, and it's really pretty too. So like, it's turned into a study space, and that was like completely the opposite of what the staff wanted, especially Dean Elmore. But we're close to the end of our podcast now, so Ellen, take it away.
The grand reopening of HCC has certainly gotten a lot of buzz among the BU community.
No matter what, the core value of finding common ground within our large student body always remains a goal of Boston University. Thanks for listening to the Common Thread podcast.
This is Naya.
Vanette.
And Alan signing off.